Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, I think the best thing I can say after listening to the state of the communist transition, we have very little time. If you didn't hear Give Me Everything Biden and or Why Is He Still in Office, President Biden, we need to start having some conversation. I'm going to cover what he talked about a little bit last night, but more importantly, what I really want to cover is the argument for Republic Review, the argument for getting everybody on board with forcing, or that sounds so harsh, holding your government and your public servants accountable to the Constitution. It's the supreme law of the land. We live in a Republican form of government, which means that we not only have our own representation, we have an American republicanism, so that kind of puts a twist on it, because the sovereigns, our sub-elements of government, are supposed to have representation in our upper-level government, counties in the states, states in the federal. Anyway, more importantly, or equally as important, is this little concept that we refer to as a rule of law type of government. In other words, when you sit down and look at, you know, what the Constitution states, they don't have any wiggle room. That's what they're supposed to do. If they don't do it, you throw them out. And we didn't have those kinds of teeth in the Constitution until the Civil War and until Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Folks, you've got all of the power you need in the supreme law of the land. Here's the problem. The politicians have taken that away from you, and they will not enforce that, which is why if you want to start enforcing Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and getting rid of these folks, you have to demand this. You have to start at your county level and get your county to understand all you've got to do is demand the removal. You don't follow the Constitution, you're out. I do not believe the majority of the Democrats, the majority, there are plenty of them that are really into and have, you know, full bore communist revolution. But I am here to tell you that there's still a lot of them that still enjoy and they understand and recognize the value of the Constitution. This is why there's trigger words when you hear Democrats, like Nancy Pelosi, she starts using the Constitution because that her base kind of, there's still enough people in her base that says, yes, we're still good, when they're not. Anyway, we're going to get into some of the comments that Give Me Everything Biden asked for and was talking about and presenting. But what we also want you to know is this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Bob's seminar, still haven't heard, still waiting to hear from Bob when he's going to have his big nationwide dial-in. And as you know, we have a few endorsements. Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching. Call him if you're looking to actually start getting disciplined. If you're looking for some constitutional education, go to constitutioneducation.us. If you go to Timber Nation, you will find hardwood furnishings, and you will find, you know, as simple as it may seem on that website, when you go to Timber Nation, you know, when you're starting to look at the wood and so forth, I know that because I know my website, I get comments regarding my websites because I do my own websites. We don't have the money to pay for, you know, an elaborate website. But the real question is, what is your I understand domains and websites kind of reflect the organization, the people, or what have you. And so what do you garner when you look at my website? You'll look at republicreview.org and you'll go, or actually, I'm sorry, reclaimingtherepublic.org. When you look at that domain, it's content rich. It's very content rich. We have a lot of very important articles and information that you can read, like getting rid of or rescinding the 17th Amendment. We don't talk about all of those things, but there are plenty of things there that you could digest and go, oh my gosh, this is big. How come nobody's talking about these things? When you go to Timber Nation, though, you'll notice that it's in a very similar vein. It is somewhat rudimentary, but that's okay because they're selling rudimentary hardwood furniture. I've told you before, go look at it, and if you really want to get yourself some well-built hardwood furniture, go to TimberNation.com. Stan Kluwit with Radio Dust Covers. He not only does radio dust covers, but for those of you who are out there, you know, doing your own reloading and so forth, apparently there's this base out there that, you know, people have reloaders that they want to protect, cover, keep the dust, keep the grime. I can understand that. If you have a garage or a work area that, you know, tends to get really dusty, paint and whatever might be in the air, cover it up. Most things that are mechanical like that, you don't want to get it all fouled up. Check out RadioDustCovers.com and add local for your ISP needs. When I say infrastructure service provider, they provide domain services, they provide email services. If you're getting organized, you will want to use them. And as a matter of fact, we will be using them when we actually start pouring out to, you know, support to these counties that are becoming a part of, and I'll just say becoming a part of the Reclaiming the Republic network, but actually they're going to be unorganized militias. But becoming a part of that is where, and this is where we talk about getting and monetizing this radio show, but not monetizing it for us to enrich us, but to use this radio show and your local advertisers to support you, to support what, you know, what you were doing in organizing, holding meetings, keeping people informed, and letting them know what and who they have to go after. You know, what government, what level, who are the culprits that are violating their oath of office. Just imagine, folks, if we actually held people accountable, we wouldn't have to exert this kind of energy, right? Had we kept our government, but they've been getting away with murder, and I literally mean getting away with murder. If you do the due diligence, you will find that there have been shenanigans within the United States and outside the United States that our government has no constitutional standing, no constitutional authority to do. And they're killing people at it. But with that, and as a matter of fact, one of the most profound things that, you know, and it seems really benign when you bring it up, you go CAFE standards for cars. CAFE standards for cars has killed more people than, you know, I believe it's killed more people than Vietnam. It's killed more people than Desert Storm and a lot of the wars. If you go through how many people have died, well, what are CAFE standards? It's when the federal government came along and said, you got to make your cars meet certain safety standards as well as gasoline and EPA and these types of things. And these standards have compromised the security and the safety of a car. I mean, in the old days, if you had an old 60s, you know, Ford or something like that, that thing was made of steel. And if you hit somebody, you hit a tree. I mean, people, it's not that people didn't die back in those days when they had a car accident, but they didn't have all these safety features. Just imagine how much safer those cars would have been if they did. And secondly, because they've had to go scrimp and use aluminum and fiber and or fiberglass, plastic, and what have you, you're literally driving around in a Nerf car, but it's not like when you hit something, you don't have to take it to the body shop. I mean, your cars get totaled easily, and people get injured very easily. Anyway, and that's something that the federal government has no authority to even create those types of standards. Where in the Constitution do we delegate them these powers? These are things that the states need to get their arms around. The states absolutely need to do this. So with that, we've kind of covered the obligatories. So let me kind of cover my take on this give me everything Biden. There was a lot of things that he threw out there. One of the things he threw out, one of the first things he went after was Russia. Now, you know as well as I do that we can't trust the mainstream media. We just can't trust them. And if the mainstream media is peddling, you know, bad Russia, bad Russia, bad Russia, there's something else going on. And you know the truth. The truth is that Biden, I believe, has put all of these things in motion. Sometimes when you need something to be, something to happen, you need to go to external or you need to shift controls. And I'll give you a case in point. When George H.W. Bush was president and he brought to America this unconstitutional Agenda 21 or the Agenda 2030, what he did was he laid in into this nation's planning, and nobody talks about it at the federal government. Why is it that not even Fox News and some of these other, you know, established mainstream media outlets, why is it that they completely stay away from this? And what they try to do is they try to associate it with a conspiracy theory. But when you actually go look at the Planners Network, then you'll actually see that they actually have plans, they actually have legislation, and when you actually lay this out, and it does take some time to really prove this to you. I mean, give us a couple of hours, we can prove, we can connect the dots, and you will actually see Agenda 21 or the 2030 plan actually being executed in your local community. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me just dive into this, because as I was just stating regarding Agenda 21 or the Agenda 2030, they've changed the names enough to make it hard for, you know, the average person to keep up with this stuff. However, if you start looking at what they've been doing, what they do is sometimes they're willing to step aside so that the next tyrant or the next pawn, the next tool, the next shill will be shill, if you understand what I mean by shill, you know, somebody that's, you know, basically doing or serving some agenda and or a person. Anyway, what these hacks do, is they take their lumps. Okay, look at George W. Bush. You know, how well did he get out there and defend himself when Obama kept on pointing his finger and poking him in the eye? That was his job. His job was basically to capitulate and say, and actually not to say anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I just said is that it was George W. Bush's job to basically let everybody believe that he was the culprit. You know, he did all of these bad things. Anyway, what you have to worry about and what we need to really start looking at is all of the things that they're reaching at. So they're going after Russia for invading Ukraine. Absolutely, that's aggression that the world shouldn't do. But here's the reality. If America wants to start protecting countries, it won't be via the mechanism of war. And as a matter of fact, we're being played every time this happens. What we need to do is, and I can't emphasize this enough, we need to start offering and letting the world know we're getting rid of the UN, we're getting rid of NATO, because these shill organizations are subjugated, we're being subjugated to these because we have basically committed ourselves to doing things that a collective group would decide when actually... And if you look at the measures that Biden has actually implemented, he is waging an economic war. Now, we do have this financial ability, but when we actually go to these international entities and agencies to say, strike them, hit them, then that, and it's one thing for us not to buy their crap. It's one thing for us not to be subsidizing them. That's within their constitutional authority and power. They do not have the constitutional authority and power to actually control or tell these other organizations what they need to do or what have you. And why are we even in these organizations when we have really no interest, no true interest to serve America and strategically what's best for us? So, my friends, what we have to do is we actually have to start looking at what should we be doing. And the Ukraine should have and should face an election. This should have happened a long time ago. They should have faced an election. I mean, how long has Russia been amassing troops there? And it wasn't just this past year, and it wasn't with Biden. There's always been tension. If you go back, I mean, in Georgia, if you go to Crimea, if you look, Russia actually, you know, they take their time. They methodically start moving forces. They, you know, they start creating rhetoric or, you know, tension and that type of stuff. Same thing with China. Look at what China's done with Hong Kong. Why are we not talking about Hong Kong? Better yet, why are we not talking about Taiwan? Why are we not talking about these empire-growing communist states and stating, you know what? And here's the thing. I mean, the UN is completely inept. They're actually supporting all of this. They're supporting this whole capture conquest shift to global communism. So what has to happen is we have to change our tune. We absolutely have to put ourselves into autonomy. One of the few things that he said that his lips were in the right spot. But you know as well as I do, there's these hidden agendas. It's just like if you look at the news today, they're saying that they're going to realign their trading agreement with China. Most people say, well, that's because he's going to be, you know, defending us. No, he's not. Everything Biden does is selling us downriver. When he talks about police and, you know, creating this police force, he's talking about a federal police force. Remember Obama said we need to have a national police just as strong, big, and able as our army, a military force? Might I remind you the framers' warnings of standing armies? Might I remind you that the Constitution does not allow any type of policing or any type of establishments of crimes for the federal government? They can't just willy-nilly say, we're going to make this a crime. They only have the constitutional authority over the crime and punishment, defining the punishment and crime for treason, counterfeiting. That's about it. Everything else is outside of the United States. So start looking at what he's saying and what he's doing. So one of the things that he kind of mentioned at the very front end was this 7% cap on childcare. You shouldn't have to pay anything more than 7% of your In other words, they're now starting to dictate what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. So in other words, regardless of whether you have adequate, you know, competition for childcare or what have you, they're getting involved and saying, well, we're going to subsidize you. They don't have any authority to do this, folks. And if you understand what they've been doing and what they're trying to do, they're not only killing babies. They want to destroy the family and seize full control of your children. They've been doing this. As a matter of fact, if you start looking, if you talk to anybody that has kids in junior high or maybe, you know, sixth grade, young kids, they're already coming after these children and basically stating, you don't have a right. You can't do anything. We have all the authority over your children. And you're just an administrative head that you have to pay for the child care. You have to, or not the child care, their health care and those types of things. Folks, these things should be very concerning to you. They're going to create a department of babysitting. They're going to seize control. They're going to dictate exactly what you can teach your kids, what you can expose them to. They're basically going to be coming after you and saying, you won't be able to sing hymns and you won't be able to read scriptures in your home because they don't want you to influence your highly impressionable child of the state with your religious dogma. If you don't believe me, go down to your library because it seems how the public library sure buys up all... all of these books, all of these nasty, just destructive books like Hillary's It Takes a Village or these other transgender morph. Why is it that the public library has become the deep pockets in helping these bad books become number one sellers? If you look at how quickly these libraries, if it's published by a bad person, a communist, it's a part of, like if oh, you know, Cortez, you know, AOC, Cortez, or Cortez the murderer, if she wrote a book, it would instantly be bought up by every library out there. Why? Why is this happening? Because there is a direct reward for anybody that is writing and publishing crap that supports the communist agenda. In other words, your library system, whether you want to admit it or not, gets these things, and the taxes that they get actually pay and subsidize the garbage that they're pouring into these libraries. Folks, this isn't just rhetoric. This is a full-scale war of ideas against our founding principles, against our government, against our mores of society that we treasured. It was the thing that actually made America what it is. As we go through enlightenment, we prove to you that it was enlightenment that created such a simplistic approach in governing mankind. Anyway, so when he starts talking about these caps or this type of thing, and there was another ultimatum he threw out there, not one single penny, if you make $400,000 a household, which isn't a lot of money, folks. In other words, we're going to come after you if you get successful. You're not successful if you're bringing in $400,000 a year, taxable money a year. For you to really be successful, for you to really be able to be autonomous in retiring, you actually need to be in the millions so that you don't have to worry, so government can't come and affect you. But the fact is they want to control anything and everything, and they want to basically get you to understand that everything you have is theirs. When he went out and said that the tax system needs to be fixed, that, you know, it's not right, we need to start getting people and corporations to pay their fair share. More importantly, when he said that they didn't build, you know, that... they have built the most prosperous nation. He's claiming credit for building this prosperous nation. I'm not quoting him, but towards the end, he started talking about this. And Obama said this. You didn't build that. We did. Are you kidding me? The federal government had no authority to be doing any of these things. America became great on the backbone of the Americans and the American ideals and a Republican form of government. And now they want to steal everything from you. They're going to steal the credit, which they have already done, and they're oh so close to closing this deal of stealing everything from you. Your property rights are in absolute jeopardy. And as a matter of fact, I keep telling people, and I keep telling them and telling them, and I tell you, that when they take us to a cashless society with this cryptocurrency, you know, solution for the world, I'm telling you, that's when they've seized all our property. We'll be right back after this, Stu Cuomo's.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so most people, you know, and there are a lot of liberty-minded people that do not like the local police becoming, and state patrol, highway patrol, whatever. They don't like them in revenue collections. As a matter of fact, you see these posts all the time where they have these, you know, speed traps or these cars that are racing cars that are out on the highway to basically, you know, run you down so that they can get their money from you. And so they're really looked at, you know, as a revenue stream of basically shaking down the people. Now, just think, and if you look at incidents where there have been maybe a bad cop, a dirty cop, Rampart, LA, remember Rampart and the problems and the history of all the problems with Rampart? Folks, when Biden threw out and hinted that we need to do this American Rescue Plan and talking about, you know, funding the police and all of this, what they're doing, because when the federal dollars come in, they're going to dictate what you can do and what you can't do. Your head is going to spin when they start implementing and actually mandating all of these controls. What seems like, oh, and everybody goes, oh, this is great. We're going to save. Are you kidding me? The least efficient government in existence within our American system is the federal government. I mean, Stossel used to have a show that actually, you know, the fleecing of America and all these others, but he actually showed how government was constantly, you know, overcharging, and nobody even cared. I mean, there are lots of people who looked at it. There are a lot of people who complained, but not enough people. What is it going to take for you to wake up and start, you know, smelling the coffee, slap your neighbors, get them to be aware of the fact that government has no ability constitutionally to do these things? Help them understand what tyranny, the definition of tyranny is. Tyranny is arbitrary government, government making up its own laws and rules to basically take and seize control. That's what we're going through, folks. When he talks about this opioid epidemic, I mean, shoot, Trump talked about that, right? Where's this all coming from? If you don't know, it's coming from our southern border. He even talked about the southern border, but he didn't talk about actually how to fix it, how to shut down the invasion. He didn't even call it an invasion. I'm telling you, if you actually held him accountable to everything he was saying, it would expose his hand. If you actually laid out and went through all of these little plans, all these little bills, give me this bill, do this, unify and pass these things. Are you kidding me? And what I do not understand is why the Republicans are not talking about how can we get rid of Biden, because it would beg the question, well, why don't you do what you should have done and you still can do? There's nowhere in the Constitution that says if you unconstitutionally seat the president, you're stuck with them. There's nowhere in the Constitution that says if they unconstitutionally pass something that you are, you know, you're forced to accept it. There's no statute of limitations exists like that. None. So as we start looking at all of these little promises that he made, or how about holding social media accountable for what they're doing to these kids for profit? Are you kidding me? What is the national education doing? The national education is destroying our economy by creating literally a generation of idiots that can't think for themselves and are incapable of taking on serious jobs, which is why we're actually losing in this economic warfare regarding intellectual property, critical thinking, and just basic academics. Are you kidding me? When we start looking at Biden and what he's basically proposing, folks, it is absolutely disaster for America. I could go on and on and on and on and on. Some of the things that really, really just kind of stood out is if you looked at SCOTUS and if you saw when the camera panned, and what the heck, why was it that there were blackouts of, what did he say that they blacked out? I mean, I didn't watch it live, nor was I planning on watching it live, but there were several minutes where there was no coverage, at least on the videos that I was able to find, there were these cutouts. So if you saw it live and you have it recorded, you may actually want to upload that so that you have the full coverage out there available. Send me an email. Let me know where you've put it, because I'd be happy to actually look at those few minutes, and more than just a few minutes. Anyway, as I looked at SCOTUS and the somber look, and almost in some ways, it almost looked like they were just going, oh man, are we guilty or what? Yes, they are. They knew that they could have stepped in. They didn't have standing to step in, but they knew they could have. I mean, out of all of the years that they've overreached and went beyond their jurisdiction, Wicker v. Filburn, Roe v. Wade, all of these different landmark type of cases, why is it? Why is it now that they have, you know, when it comes to stopping and being the guardians of the Constitution and stopping this assault on our liberty? I'm telling you, those are a bunch of evil people. And I'm telling you that Trump didn't know what he was doing. I think he basically, and as a matter of fact, from what I've heard from Bob Schultz, Sotomayor, and I think, yeah, it was Kavanaugh, they're dirty, they're corrupt judges, and they're not going to do what they're supposed to do, what they've taken an oath to do, or what they should have taken an oath to do. The other thing I want to just throw out, just as a comment, have you ever, we used to have these toys when we grew up, and I called them bongo monkeys. What they were was, it was like this little mechanical monkey that, you know, when you moved it or what have you, it all of a sudden it would just start slapping these cymbals together. And so every time, it just seemed like when Biden would hit something or what have you, the two dolts behind him, Pelosi and Harris, I mean, they would just get up and start clapping just like they were bongo monkeys. It was comical. Are you kidding me? This is the biggest stage act we've ever seen, and this is for all of the rubles, all of the dollars. Everything in the world is on the line, folks. And the only thing that will actually perturb this from actually going fully across this line is you standing up. Yes, you can make that difference. You can actually have a voice. You can actually become that leader in offering people real, tangible solutions in getting rid of it. Just remember, there's a lawsuit that would remove Biden at the drop of a hat. Congress has the power. If we flip Congress this year, and if you talk about this, if you force this into the dialogue, it really bothers me is nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about how to get rid of Biden. Why? It's almost like, well, it's the dirty secret. We have to keep him because he's going to finish the deal. Are you kidding me? Get rid of every single one of these folks. Make them feel the heat. Make the establishment, make the globalists sweat this year. Get involved in this upcoming election. Either get your butt out there and run and challenge these turds, or at least get out there into the town hall meetings and bring up these points. If you need help, let me know. We'll actually, if you want some talkie points or what have you, we'll create them for you. You can do it yourself. The smarter you get on this, the more dangerous you become. Because as you start being able to actually articulate the process, what has to happen, what needs to happen, why isn't this happening, then you actually become a very dangerous person. So remember, what we want you to do is we want you to actually become a part of the solution. We want to give you the opportunities to lead. This is why we're kind of going through, and what we just went through with the jurisdictional limitations of the federal government. That is not only an academic, but a legal precedents of how we can hold the federal government back within these very select walls that the Constitution constrains them to. Anyway, so let me get back to this long constitutional compliance argument, because what is really important is we were talking about ignorance of the law is no excuse. And we cited Thomas Jefferson. We're now pointing to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And so let me kind of pick up where we kind of left off with this, basically the last paragraph that we kind of covered. To be clear, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment establishes the standards of eligibility / qualifications for a public servant to maintain one's office of trust and confidence. When a public servant violates their oath by participating in supporting laws, spending, taxation, not enforcing or acting upon laws that are not in pursuance to the Constitution, or defending the Constitution from other public servants who are attacking the Constitution by violating the Constitution, then those public servants are actively or passively allowing the Constitution to be attacked and subverted, and are no longer eligible to be qualified and or eligible to be a public servant. And they must be banned from public service for the rest of their lives for defying that trust of or that Office of Trust and Confidence. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we continue, and basically we just kind of caught you up to where we left off, anyone who asserts that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment only applies to those public servants who supported the secession of the South after the Civil War have been sadly misinformed, because there is no evidence of this limitation within the congressional debates of this section, while Congress was working at breakneck speed to protect the civil and inalienable rights of the freemen who were being oppressed and killed in the southern states. Now, as I read that, I realize that that is one, you know, it's four lines. That's one long run-on sentence. Anyway, so I'll probably go in and have to change some of the sentence structure to that just so we can not have a run-on sentence. Anyway, to be clear, the original language of Section 3 tied this penalty to those who supported the Southern Rebellion. As documented in the Congressional Globe, the specific initial language was, quote, until the 4th day of July in the year 1870, all persons who voluntarily adhered to the late insurrection, giving aid and comfort, shall be excluded from the right to vote for representatives in Congress and for electors for presidents and vice presidents of the United States. Wow. Okay, so that was very specific. It was time-bound, and it was very specific penalty, taking away the right to vote, not even holding public servants accountable to the oath of office. I mean, the language is completely different. But this was the original language. So don't let some soothsayer say, well, that's what they were trying to do, and they just kind of clouded it with this all-over-the-place language that we read in Section 3. Don't worry, we're going to get into this. Okay, the debate on the necessity, getting back to the argument, the debate on the necessity to change this section into a permanent law to hold all public servants accountable to their oath was placed in context by Senator Howard stating, quote, it seems to me that where a person has taken a solemn oath to support the Constitution of the United States, back in those days, it was of the United States. Now it's for the United States because the federal government has changed the Constitution and they have seized control of it and what it means and what they define everything. That's the job of the states, and we've kind of covered this before. Anyway, to support the Constitution of the United States, there is a fair moral implication that he or she cannot afterward commit an act which in its effect would destroy the Constitution of the United States without incurring the guilt of at least moral perjury. Consequently, the language was changed, removing any reference whatsoever that would bind this eligibility slash qualification requirement to any specific time, event, or application. The current language in Section 3 is this, quote, no person shall be a senator. So in other words, they're saying, here are all the people that are no longer qualified or disqualified or ineligible to serve. So we're going to identify this pot. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state, judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. So in other words, you are no longer eligible to hold that office if you took the oath of office, and while you're under that oath of office, you either support, and they call it shall have engaged in insurrection. So you got to remember that the oath is what? To support the Constitution of the United States. And that's exactly what it says there. So you can't be an executive or judicial officer or any type of public servant to support the Constitution of the United States. In other words, you've taken this oath to support the Constitution and then engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same being the Constitution. It's not about the government. There's nowhere in here where they say that you're basically insurrecting or you're going against the government. As a matter of fact, it is our right and obligation to hold government accountable. We don't have a right to try to overthrow it. This is why when they talk about supporting the Constitution, if you've got these AOC, you've got these gangs that are literally attacking the Constitution in so many different ways, then you now see that they're actually committing insurrection as a politician. They're passing laws they have no authority to pass. That is the epitome of an insurrection, when they're actually engaging and empowering themselves more and more and more and more. I mean, it was one thing when it was this noble intent back in 1817 trying to create the footings for the Department of Transportation, but it was still a violation. In other words, it would have been an insurrection had Congress just did it anyway and removed the president, impeached the president for not signing the bill. I mean, those types of shenanigans, that's what we see today. But the fact of the matter is, it's not just those who engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution. It also includes those who are given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, to the enemies of the Constitution. So how is it? So here's the question, looking at this. How is it that the Republicans that are holding their tongue, not talking about what happened on January 6th, how is it that the Republicans that are not calling out the fact that we have an invasion on our southern border, we have this invasion of this importation of drugs, we know what's going on, and they're allowing it to happen. How many people are dying from this opioid crisis? And the fact is, because we have an open border, they are allowing it to happen. In other words, they are giving aid and comfort to China, communist China, and to all of these evil you know, runners and lords down in the Central and South America who are getting rich and being the middleman for China's war against America. Folks, I can't put it any more simpler. I mean, that's what we're facing. We are absolutely facing a war in so many different ways. But the question is, how is it that these Republicans get away with not, you know, by giving, because as far as I'm concerned, they're giving aid and comfort by basically all of these things. And if you look at how they vote, yeah, they may vote against those things, but they're not calling people out. Why is it that there has not been one congressman on the floor of Congress that has called out the fact that we are under an invasion and we have been invaded for over 30 years to a point in tune of 40 million invaders in America? Why is it that that dialogue has been stifled? Why is it that the tongues have been tied or removed from supposedly your champions like Ted Cruz? Why is it? Because their politics and their politicians and their shills and hacks, they're not there to actually lead. They don't care about a solution. Just like on January 6th, Cruz, Paul, all of these people had the information how the Constitution was violated. So when you think that we got to keep these guys, I'm telling you, we're better off getting rid of every single one of them. They're all guilty of violating the Constitution and violating their oath of office in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. They must be removed. Okay? So, moving on, back into, you know, the dialogue for the argument. Where is any language that binds this section to a specific time or event? As one has asserted, because I've had plenty of people tell me, where is the language that actually ties this to that time frame? In other words, it basically says anybody that has taken an oath and then supports an insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution. What is an insurrection or rebellion? Rebellion is trying to institute and create laws and doing things that are outright violations. If they're violating it, that is insurrection. To be clear, one will find opponents of the 14th Amendment making assertions to pervert the intent and meaning of the 14th Amendment, which is why it is paramount to reject any and all comments from those opponents, as the two houses of Congress did in passing this amendment to forward to the states for ratification. What did I just say? When we read these debates, you have to understand, and this is why I tell you, if you have these things out in a document where you go through, this person spoke, if you highlight the text of the people who were voting against this and actually opposing this and throwing out these ideas that this is what this means, this is what this, then you place clear context that what that person was doing was they were trying to pervert one, the intent, the meaning, and or trying to subvert the passage. And so when you do that and you highlight that and then you delete all of those things, now you can actually get down to what the real intent was, because the proponents, those who are trying to pass it, were the ones that were really defining it. Just like during the ratification debates, as it was defined, it becomes legally binding. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic. And we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADD-LOCAL
or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.